is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he just heard about the terrible death of his cousin, John the Baptist, who'd been beheaded. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he said to the disciples, then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of God.
There's no question that when the disciples saw that miracle unfolding, that they were part of that miracle, they will have worshipped the God who alone can do those things. We're going to invite each other, as it were, to worship with all of our hearts. Let's stand together as we sing now.
Is this... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think this one's working. Don't worry about it. I'll use this one. So, we're looking this morning at when Jesus fed lots and lots of people, and I thought it'd be nice if I brought a little something for you to eat this morning. So I've brought some Haribo on the basis that kids and grown-ups love it so. So I brought a bag of Haribo, and I'm going to open it now for you. And if you just take one and pass it round, okay. If you just want to take one of those, pass it along, pass it to the people behind you. Make sure everybody gets one. How are they tasting? They're tasting all right? Yeah, you enjoying that? Excellent. If you keep them moving round, just take one and pass them along. Just one, because otherwise they might not be enough. Oh, it seems that I don't quite have enough Haribo to go round. I'm really very, very sorry. I don't know how to make this go any further than it's gone. Maybe we'll see about that in a bit. But this was the situation that the disciples found themselves in, that reading that we heard earlier. There were 5,000 people to feed. Actually, there were probably significantly more than that. Because in those days they wouldn't have counted the women and the children. Now, it's best I don't comment on that. because it was my wedding anniversary yesterday and I'm in the good books for remembering. But they wouldn't have counted the women and the children. There were 5,000 men. And so I think you can probably at least double that when you think about how many people there were that the disciples were faced with filling the empty bellies of. Now, all these people, they'd had a great time listening to Jesus. I think if you read the passage, Jesus probably hadn't really intended to teach that day. I think he was tired and he probably planned a day off. But the people had come to hear him. So tired as he was, he got up and he taught them. And he spoke for a long time, and soon it was dinner time. The people, says the passage, were hungry. I guess they were going up to the disciples and asking what the catering arrangements were. And the disciples panicked. If you flick on a little bit in Matthew, if you've still got your Bibles open, if you turn over to just a chapter to Matthew 15, verse 29, we see a very similar thing happen again. Matthew 15, 29 to 39 says this: Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days, and they've had nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." His disciples answered, "Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" Jesus said, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few small fish." He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he'd given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went on to the vicinity of Magadan. So this is just one chapter later. And again, in this situation, the disciples panic. They go, "But how? There's 4,000 plus people here. How on earth are we going to feed them all?" And you would panic given that situation, wouldn't you? Now, as many as you know, I work in the restaurant industry. And every time the weekend food order comes in, I worry that we haven't got enough. I worry that we're going to run out of steaks. And I'm going to be faced with the task of telling an irate customer that we don't have the meal that they want, which, believe me, can be quite daunting. Of course, on the very rare occasion that that happens, we always have plenty of other options on the menu for the people to choose from, although that doesn't always placate them either. But here, the disciples were faced with feeding 5,000 people, with feeding 4,000 people plus, and all they had was one little lad's packed lunch. Now, we don't know why this little man was the only person who'd had the foresight to bring something to eat, but there we are, he had 5,000 plus people to feed in the reading that Peter read for us, 5 bread rolls and 2 fish to do it with. The disciples are absolutely at panic stations, and fair enough. But as we saw again, Jesus has done it before. We have Jesus feeding 5,000 people, then later feeding 4,000 people plus. The first time it's the disciples, it seems, who have the food, and the first time the little boy has the food, and the second time, I can't remember which way round it goes. It doesn't matter. Jesus blesses the food, gives it to the disciples, all 4,000, 5,000 men, plus women and children, and all of them are fed on both occasions. And they're well fed, as there are 7 baskets of leftovers. Now, I'd like to think that if I'd been there on that second occasion and there were all these people that wanted feeding, that I would have said, "Hey, Jesus, is there any chance you can do that thing again with the bread and the fish?" But the disciples don't do that. They freak out. They completely freak out. It seems a bit daft on the part of the disciples, doesn't it? But you know what? Thinking about it, I think we can be a little bit like that. I know I can. See, I've seen God do big things, both in my own life and in the lives of those people around me. miracles, you might want to call them, because miracles come in all different forms. But very often, when I'm faced with a difficulty or a crisis or something that I don't know how to handle, I panic. I find it hard to trust that God will sort it, even though I've seen him do it countless times before. I've just started a new job, and those of you close to me will know that my old job was starting to weigh very heavily on my shoulders. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it had become a very hard place to work, and I simply had to get out. And I was panicking, if I'm honest. I was struggling, and I was finding it very hard to see a way out. I couldn't believe, somehow, that God could sort it. Now, in my past, I've faced redundancy and career changes and much, much more, and God has always sorted it. And I've always looked back and seen that God was working for the best. So why couldn't I trust him to sort it out this time? Human nature, I suppose. Last year, this church was faced with a financial shortfall, a significant financial shortfall. At the time, I was on the PCC, and I'm sure I'm not breaching any Official Secrets Act if I say that there was, among members of the PCC, some significant worry. But what impressed me about the PCC at that time, that there was a deep sense of trusting God in it. Because as God has proved in my life countless times, and I'm sure in yours too, we can trust him to do the big things. And that shortfall was met in a way that none of us could have foreseen. And I have a new job. God sorts these things out. That second time, the disciples could and should have trusted Jesus to sort the problem they were faced with because they'd seen him do it before. Now, we mustn't be too hard on them, on their lack of faith, because we'll say we're all guilty of it. But what we can learn from this is that God can and will sort it. Jesus sorted it. Jesus did the miracle. Jesus did the big thing that needed doing, because that's what he does. Because that's the business that he's in. Now, I was trying to choose a song to go in the middle of this talk, and Laura and I were up chatting very late at night, with a bottle of something, I think, which might explain the eventual choice. And we went through various options, songs about miracles and God doing big things, but none of them felt quite right. And as I thought about it, there was one song that I couldn't get out of my head. It kept coming back. It simply wouldn't go away. So I ask you, I hear you asking, which of these great worship songs is it that our worship leader has chosen today? Perhaps it's one of those songs that speaks about how big God is, or perhaps it's a traditional hymn that speaks about the miracles of Jesus. Which one is it that we've chosen? Well, I'll tell you. It's 500 Miles by the Proclaimers. And I can't see with Sally's glasses on, so I'm going to take them off. Now, I've had a go at rewriting the words, the lyrics for this, very badly. It's a bit of fun, and I hope you enjoy it. All your best Scottish accents are absolutely required. So if you'd like to stand, and we're going to sing this song together, and I've got the 5,000 and the 4,000 the wrong way round in the chorus, so you can sing it whichever way you want. It doesn't really matter. Let's sing together. Let's take a seat. Now, I can't turn bread and fishes into sandwiches for all of you. I don't have that kind of power. But what I do have is more Haribo. So if I could get a couple of volunteers just to come and hand these out for me. So that everybody gets a sweetie. That would be lovely. Yeah, come on. Let's take three bags out. And while I can't talk because I'm chewing. God proved himself once again to the disciples. We don't know whether they were faced with another multitude to feed after these two. But you hope that if they were, they'd have learnt their lesson and they would simply say, "Go on, Jesus, do that bread and fish thing again." I hope I've learnt my lesson about trusting God this time. So that's it then. Safe in the knowledge that God has and does do big things, does miracles, we can sit back safe in the assurance that God will sort it. Well, no. Not quite. You see, if you look back at the two stories that we've heard today, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, it's not a question of watching Jesus at work for the disciples. They don't get to sit back and watch Jesus do the big thing. They have a very active part to play. You see, Jesus blessed the food, and the rolls and the fishes both times. But both times, it was the job of the disciples to distribute the food among the people. Now, I don't know what the food looked like when Jesus gave it to his team to hand out. Perhaps it was already a bountiful feast. Perhaps the disciples could already see the big thing that God had done. Perhaps they were each handed more food than they could carry and told to give it out among the crowd. But I rather think not. I suspect that the disciples were faced with the task of handing out those 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the assembled masses. I suspect this wasn't just a public miracle. Rather, I think this was a test of the disciples' faith. I think they were asked to distribute a tiny amount of food among the people. Now, we've been a bit tough on those 12 guys today, but here's the moment when they get some credit. They did it. They took that food and they trusted Jesus and they did it. They set off with that tiny amount of food, barely enough to feed their own hungry bellies, but they did it, and fair play to them. Even though on the second occasion they'd seen Jesus do it before, they still trusted him to do the big thing, to meet the needs of the people. They did what Jesus asked of them, and the people were fed. So what is it this morning, I wonder, that God is asking of you? What role does God have in store for you as he does his miracles, those big things in Downend, in South Gloucestershire, in Bristol? We've heard from Mark this morning, who's playing his very active part. It's not a big leap from the feeding of the multitudes to the work of the soup run in Bristol. I know there are people in this church who go out on a weekend to feed the hungry in that city. That's God doing a big thing. And those people are trusting him to do it and sticking their hands in the air and saying, "Yes, God, I want to do my part." It's not a big leap from the feeding of the multitudes to the work of Christians Against Poverty. This church is very proud of our CAP centre, and so we should be. Even in this country, we're surrounded by need, and CAP meets those needs, helps people to meet their needs, and those who willingly give up their time for the work of CAP are just like those disciples, willing to trust God and do their part in the big thing that God is doing through the incredible work of that organisation. Again, in this church, we're faced with another financial shortfall. Perhaps God is calling you to play a part in doing big things by helping to meet that need. The disciples, despite their initial lack of faith in Jesus, they put themselves out there and said, "Okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. I've got no idea how you're going to do this, but I've seen you do it before, so I'm going to trust you to do it again." So may you today know the assurance that our God is a great big God. Our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a God who does the big things. Our God is a God who meets the needs of the people. And may you today, and may I too, be like one of the disciples. May you trust in God to do the big thing, and may you be willing to play your part. Amen.